Before you just shuffle this one off into the what the fuck did I just watch pile, just hear us out.
Let's sharpen our axes for this heavy metal revenge fantasy, Mandy.
I was excited to watch this movie again just because the first time I watched it, I was way too stoned.
How are you feeling, man?
I'm pretty lucky.
Say what?
I'm fine.
What?
I was not ready to jump into the waters that deep. To come back now and be able to watch it a little more matured. Maybe still not as sober.
But yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Coming back with the intent to actually understand what I was watching was much more rewarding. And now I'm actually excited to talk about this movie with you.
After watching it, you really do realize how intentional every single thing is, from the crazy colors to the crazy world that Nicolas Cage as Red gets thrown into.
So the director, Panos Cosmatos, this wasn't his first film he made. The first one was Beyond the Black Rainbow. However, he did write the story for Mandy at the same time as writing that original film. So they kind of express these two different sides of emotion, where Black Rainbow is more about an introspective withholding of emotion, whereas Mandy is an outward display of very dramatic emotion. The style that Panos has is so identifiable.
One thing I realized when watching this is how Mandy is the center of this universe that we're in. It's all about Mandy. And the very end, when there's the flashback of Red meeting Mandy, as soon as they meet is when all of the colors envelop the screen. Blue and deep reds, like almost as red as the subscribe button. Red's universe is Mandy, and as soon as Mandy dies, that also becomes our universe.
It's such a tragic love story. For Nicolas Cage's performance as Red to make sense, we as an audience have to understand why he would feel so strongly about losing her.
They do such a great job of using the first probably like 30 minutes to cement Red and Mandy's relationship. They have these talks about the universe while the lights of the cosmos flows over them, just seeing them live their lives together for the first chunk of this movie. During all of this, there's also a really slow feeling of dread. There's an inevitability to that dread, and mm-hmm. You know something bad is coming.
So what you want?
Crazy evil.
It's just a big love letter to 80s metal, especially in the amazing score by Johan Johansson. It's just as big of a part of the identity of this movie as the visuals that you're seeing.
Without that score, this movie would not work. And it's a shame that he passed away before people got to experience his soundtrack.
Well, rest in fucking peace, dude. He has some amazing work. Jeremiah is such an amazing, fleshed out villain.
You know, I was ready to stand tall with the great, grand, glittering ones, but those scumbags couldn't recognize a golden, radiant light even as it was cast right down upon them.
He has all these really dark moments that he executes so well, and he really brings forth the toxic characteristics of this character and how abusive someone like that really is, and the insecurities and the psychosis that comes with it.
Linus has said in tapping into that Jeremiah Sands mindset that it's really just like an expose into the male ego and all of the horrors that can exist within it. We see this very narcissistic person in actuality who believes he's got a connection to an entity. In reality, he's flesh and bones. He's nothing. Red is ready to exploit the fuck out of that.
No, please don't hurt me. Can't you see this was all part of your journey?
By the end of the movie, you could feel Red's hate towards Jeremiah just seeping through the screen.
And then that kill at the end where he is like,
I love it.
Whenever Mandy is first abducted, one of the first things they do is drug her with this acid. You can start to see through her perspective what this drug does. Those are some of the craziest visuals in the whole movie.
Loving light. It flowed over me like the pulse of a timeless wave. A wave of pure heat.
I felt like I was being hypnotized.
This dazed feeling of I'm coherent enough to know that this is happening, but I'm too incoherent to fucking put together what's happening.
Don't play mind checkers with me, man. I'm not in the mood.
One thing I really noticed was how much inspiration this movie takes from so many other horror franchises. Hellraiser's Cenobites were clearly an inspiration for the crazy evil biker gang, and Red's Rampage in the Forest takes place in Crystal Lake, which is where Jason Voorhees is from. And I definitely noticed some Evil Dead in there as well, especially when he was fighting and he snapped the guy's neck and the camera like zoomed in on his face pretty quick. I love the you ripped my shirt.
You ripped my shirt. You ripped my shirt.
So weird and wild. Like, why does that work so well? And then, of course, he can't help but try some of their primordial acid ooze. Mandy has no issue taking its time, so it's great to see that it also won't take itself serious in that same regard and give time to something like Cheddar Goblin.
Cheddar Goblin, did you eat all the macaroni and cheese?
Nothing's better than cheddar.
Cheddar Goblin.
Somebody currently has Cheddar Goblin, you know, and I want to be that person. The other thought is that there are two individuals with a distinct memory of being vomited on by Cheddar Goblin. That strikes me as something that would be a formative memory for a young person. I just want to know how those two are doing.
It takes so many aspects from such great horror movies and really makes it its own to a point where a movie like this doesn't exist, even though it pulled from so many different places.
One of the biggest complaints a lot of people have right now is that Hollywood is making the same movie over and over and over. Yet, here's an example of a film that does, like you say, draw perfectly from old examples and create something new out of it that's fresh and exciting. But the caveat is that it is very abstract, and you're gonna have to like really look at this one to see that.